Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and I'll look back to our political podcast. And as you know, I have been laying off these kind of things for a while because I have not been, like, prepared and such for it. Because, as you know, I was on a trip, which caught me off guard for a while. And I also was doing some work on the podcast itself because I did try, and I did do two technically podcasts, more of them discussion than not. But, again, it was just really distractions. Some school and some other kind of more personal stuff around. But we're not going to really talk about that. We're going to get back right into the news. So what I've heard, and I've confirmed this, but the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, has banned Fox News. They've banned Fox News from hosting any debates for the Democratic Party. And this does not surprise me. I personally think that the DNC wants to ban Fox News because of their conservative nature. Because Fox News on primetime has more conservatives on air than any other network probably, or at least major network in the entire country. And the thing is, this is what the strategy I just completely don't think they are even looking at. Sorry. But they're not looking at what is going to happen with their audience. Their audience, because Fox News is the largest cable network in the country, their audience is not going to be expanded. They're not going to get as much people there to really be informed about their policies. They're kind of, in a way, screwing themselves up. And as you know, it's also just political bias just from the story itself. Because the Democrats are really proving that they don't care. As long as they get a few extra supporters in there, they're not going to care and now about any kind of way about what happens to them. They just want to have the support. And my political opinion on debates is we should have people, you should go up against audiences that don't agree with you. You should go to debates where the audience is against you and you know it. Because it's going to really show that you're not a coward. And when I say coward, I mean like where you just sit back and say, well, I don't want to in any way verse people that don't agree with me. I want to be with all my supporters. That's just saying to literally everyone that you can't deal with losing. You cannot deal with losing a single thing, and it proves that not only, again, that you're a coward, but it also proves that you don't have the balls or anything to actually deal with the problem. And so it's just really, on the DNC's part, just horrible that they even tried to say, oh, we're trying to keep Fox News from putting biased debate. I've seen Chris Wallace and such, Bret Baier. They are they're conservative, but they're not in the sense of they're purposely asking them very tough questions specifically to the Democrats. No, they ask tough questions to future President Trump and other Republican nominees such as Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and others. And it's just really like, if you at least ban Fox News, at least let Chris Wallace and Bret Baier, because they're two of the more tougher people in debates. And I've noticed that. They are very hard people to deal with in a debate because they ask such great questions and they really do pursue you to tell the truth and to tell what you think rather than just having a political barrier in front of you and saying what you to the audience, what you want the audience to hear, not what you're actually talking about or what you're actually believing, what you actually believe in. And so again, it's just really, in my opinion, a very stupid decision by the DNC. Not only, again, are they proving that they have political bias on their media networks, but they also are proving to everyone and showing people that they don't care about expanding their audience. They don't have a political strategy. The political strategy is use the millennial population to win, because they virtually might say, well, the older population may vote for Trump, but they're dying out. We have the millennials. We have the future. And just saying right here, the future does not look bright with them. But that's really all we got for now. I think it's just going to lay off of there, but we will update if there's anything there to really see. But we're going to kind of move on from that to our very next topic. So the next thing comes from Fox News. CNN's vicious attacks. Network to be sued more than $250 million in the Covington Catholic student case. Sorry, again. I'm not, it's not loading up, so I'm kind of pausing innocent. Pausing a little bit from time to time. That's going to happen. Maybe not for all of them, but it's going to happen sometimes. But the article states, CNN is likely to be hit with a massive lawsuit worth over $250 million over alleged vicious and direct attacks on the Covington Catholic High School students, and including Nick Sandman from his lawyer that told Fox News. And you already know that the Washington Post got sued over $250 million. It's like, the Washington Post, they make so much money that they probably a little bit care, but they also probably are saying, eh, we can get it back. We can just make more articles about Trump and we'll get all their money back. I'm just saying for Nick Sandman, this is just going to be right out here. You're getting over it possibly $500 million for a bunch of idiots that tried to say he's a racist, misogynistic Trump supporter. Like, Nick Sandman, you're a lucky man, because even though you were assaulted, and if I was ever politically attacked like this, I would at first say, whatever. I would first come out, I'd make a video, I would say that this is a big lie and such, and really prove my points. Then, if they continuously keep pressuring and saying that I'm wrong, then I would just say, whatever, you're going to keep going on, I'll just have to investigate it myself. And that would just be really my strategy. It wouldn't be a great strategy because I would have to get some other people involved. There's no way I can go by myself in my own investigation because I'm not the smartest person to really lead something like that. But I would try to at first maybe do that and then see. But it says, quote, CNN was probably more vicious in its direct attacks on Nicholas than the Washington Post. And CNN goes into millions of individual homes, Wood told Fox News host and selling author Mark Levin. And I've heard about Mark Levin. Mark Levin is a very, very strong Republican. I know, I've seen some of his podcasts, not seen, but I've heard some of his podcasts. I've seen some of his primetime television series. He is a very tough Republican, and I can give him respect for that. It says, CNN could not resist the idea that here's a guy with a boy that make America great again cap on him, so they go after him. From Linwood, the attorney. They really went after Nicholas with the idea that he was part of a mob that was attacking the Black Hebrew Israelites, which from Ben Shapiro, or at least from what I heard, was a cult of the Judaism, yelling racist slurs at the Black Hebrew Israelites that were totally false. And yes, it was actually completely false. In fact, it was the opposite way around. The Black Hebrew Israelites were throwing all kinds of racial slurs. They were attacking everyone's, they were attacking their sexuality. They were attacking almost anything that they could really find in their mind. And it was just disgusting when, especially Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC tried to use the narrative that the students were verbally assaulting everyone that they disagreed with. I don't know the exact details. It might have happened. We don't really know, but there's still that possibility. But as to what we see, the students, they were just there. They were just kind of, in a way, not really partying, but they were kind of just there ecstatically. And then the Black Hebrew Israelites came in and said, oh, we're going to attack all of these crackers. That's virtually what they were insisting, that they were going to, in any way, attempt to defactulate their opinion. When in real life, all it just showed was their insane leftists who cannot deal with anyone that disagrees with them. Because they are virtually saying that they can't in any way deal with them. And I'm sorry for repeating again, but I'm not going to actually go into that because that really didn't make any sense. I'm sorry, again, if I just sound really bad while talking, because I just verbally have been relaxed. I haven't been in these kinds of situations for a long time, and it's not like this is like... Because at one point during my podcasting career, or at least the high point of it, I was doing it almost every day. It was a common occurrence for me, and so it's just really something I have to adjust to, again, because of how I got used to not having to speak like this to possibly no one. Because obviously podcasting Well, it does depend. It depends virtually if you're podcasting with anyone. I am, in the future, going to get a new mic. The mic is going to, I think, get here, I think it was April 7th. So it's going to be a very long time. I'm still going to have to then figure out how to use it. And I'm also probably going to, because I've also been starting to order some stuff. I would actually, let's actually move away from this. Sorry if I just, again, sound dysfunctional, but this CNN article, I saw this CNN article, it was vicious. I think it was completely and factually right. Because not only did CNN falsely identify certain parts of the video, they also continuously said how the Native American was never doing anything to them, that he was just there, and he was being assaulted. And this is the thing. This Native American elder, he has been involved with incidents like this before, where they were possibly fabricated. So this isn't like he was just somehow, he just lied once. This was like he had done it before, and he thought he could get away with it again. Because I think in that last incident, he said he was at a party and such, and that they saw Nazi swastikas and such, and students wearing KKK robes on. And I even looked over the details in the original case, and it was just nothing. There was absolutely nothing. It was just one of the worst kind of cases I've ever seen. But again, this CNN is being sued, like many and possibly many other news networks. And it's just really a showing that conservatives are now done. They're done with the media constantly attacking them. They're done with the media assaulting their political views. They're saying, guess what? We're not going to sit here and just let you say, oh, this person's a racist, or it was a white lash, quote Van Jones, and like that. We're going to actually come up to you, and we're going to also attack. Not physically, because I don't want to be like Alex Jones when he said call up to arms metaphorically. But, again, we're going to fight back. And so, again, Nick Sandman putting up a good offense. I think he's going to win the case because there's just staunch evidence. You cannot really deny that there is staunch evidence against Nick Sandman. But we still have to see through the case. But as I said, that's really all we got for today. So we're going to move on to the next article, which comes from CNN. So a statement by, I'm not sure if this is going to be right or not, but it's a statement by Bledsoe. I don't know his last name. I'm not going to try. But it says, Medicare for all should be an option. And why do people constantly bring up Medicare for all as if it's actually possible? It's not possible. It's been proven that it will just absolutely demolish the economy. It will annihilate our chances of actually recovering. Because the economy right now is so high up. Some of the best job reports we've seen since the 60s. One of the largest GDP growth since, I think, since at least 20 years. And just overall, economic prosperity around the United States. And then people want to say, well, because we have such a great economy, we should put in Medicare for All, which would cost, I think, at least $5 trillion to fund. Yeah, $5 trillion. That's $2 trillion over the federal budget. And then people, and this is what I've always said, they want to bring up these bills and talk about them, how they don't cost that much. Why didn't Trump get his wall? His wall cost him over 100 times less. But you guys told us, no, it's too much money. Trump was being outrageous. When in real life, you guys were being outrageous. You guys were saying, oh, Trump shouldn't be asking for this much money. You guys are talking about plans that go over the federal budget or are the federal budget spending amount. But that's just the life of a conservative. We can't get anything from anyone because if we disagree with them, no, you can't get that. So South Bend Mayor slammed National Security Advisor John Bolton, suggesting that someone that was involved in the run-up of the Iraqi war shouldn't be allowed near the Situation Room to begin with. Blackbeard did not mention Bolton by name, but when asked a question about the conflict in Venezuela, the mayor and veteran of the Iraqi war accused Bolton of carelessly throwing the possibility of using military force in Venezuela. And this is what I say. We only use military force when we have to. We're not going to use military force just immediately in. Because my view is, if we've at first let the Venezuelan conflict see go over, we can at least see if the rebel force can actually do this by themselves and that they don't need American aid. Maybe we can send in some money. Maybe we can send in some weapons. I don't know. But again, for him just to attack him on that and say, oh, we need to use the military force. No, it's not something that we have to do and it's necessary to win. We need to just wait and see what happens. Because it's possible that 90% of the military, which is in Venezuela, is against Maduro. Which means we won't even really need an actual civil war. We might just need a coup or something like that to really overthrow him. Because once more and more people start going against him, he's not going to have really any allies except for the top generals, which are stealing all the money, all the land from the Venezuelan people. But, quote from him, the situation in Venezuela is highly disturbing. The regime lost its legitimacy, he said. That being that doesn't matter, we carelessly threatened the use of military force, which is the National Security Advisor was doing at one point. He added, hinting that troops might be sent to South America, I don't understand how somebody leads into the Iraqi war is allowed to near the Situation Room to begin with. So he's saying virtually, why would we let this guy who has been involved in conflicts and has led certain other events involving war, again, which is conflicts, why should we let him in this? Well, because he's the National Security Advisor. He's literally the person in charge. Why else? Why would you just question it like that and say, oh, and he doesn't really provide anything else. His quotes just keep going on and talking about how he's so illegitimate when he doesn't really prove anything. He just says, oh, I don't like that he presents that. He's against everyone. And this kind of also brings up another article which talks about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has never condemned the Venezuelan government. Which, if you think about it, is pretty disturbing. Because she's virtually saying, I am not denouncing a dictator who has murdered hundreds, maybe even thousands of Venezuelans to keep power. He destroyed the economy and he's continuously now probably, at least from what we've heard, using a secret police to suppress the people. But it was just more of a statement rather than anything else. So, again, they're just continuously saying, well, guess what? We think that John Bolton's an idiot. Well, in my opinion, you guys say literally everyone in the Trump presidency is an idiot. You say DeVos is an idiot. You said Matt Maher's was an idiot. You said literally everyone, including Trump, probably more times than not, an idiot. So it's not really surprising to hear a Democrat say, oh, that guy in the Trump administration, he's so dumb. It's like, Democrats will get probably tired of that. I predict that, and that they're going to just get tired of it, and they're going to say, why do we keep saying this? No one's caring. Like, there's nothing good about it. We're just virtually saying what we think. Rather than really anything else. But there's not really much anything else into it. So we're going to move on to our very next article, which comes from MSNBC. So a statement by Trump saying, the Prime Minister of Israel have unleashed horror in the American Jewish Committee. Discussing the complex relationship between the United States and Israel and how the American Jewish Committee wrestles with supporting Israel with its current leadership in politics. And I don't really have much of a stance on the Prime Minister. I haven't really heard of anything that he's done recently. I did hear about his indictment for, I think, corruption and maybe even bribery. But again, I don't really know much to really say that I'm against him or for him. I'm for, again, which I've stated many times before, for Israel. So I don't think we should leave. I think that we should just let the judiciary process prosecute him. But we should easily keep the alliance and maintain our presence in Israel. So, again, this is more of a video really than anything else. So I'm going to kind of move away from it a little bit. So, the very next thing we have for today is Democrats to probe Trump for abuse of power in the AT&T Warner deal. So, I'm not really sure on it. I've heard some rumors about it that Trump I think, gave some money to certain companies to either support him, or it might have been related to something else. I'm not sure. But again, the Trump probe, it's so usual now that it's virtually like hearing, oh, Trump being probed? Okay. But in like the 60s and 70s, hearing the president probe would be like, oh my God, Trump is, or no, oh my God, Reagan's being prosecuted? This is insane. Now it's like really, oh, another probe. Okay. So again, I think that, and I've looked, I haven't looked that much into it, so I'm not going to really discuss it as much because, again, I don't know that much into it, so I don't really want to really state the what I think is happening and what I've heard because it might be in factually correct. So I'm going to kind of move away from this and move on to our very next article. So our very next article is from Infowars.com. Democrats vote to give illegal immigrants the right to vote. Quote, we are prepared to open up the political process and let all of the people come in. So the article states that, let me get it up. As we detailed earlier, using careful chosen words in what appears an attempt to hide the truth, House Speaker Representative Nancy Pelosi admitted this week at a news conference on voting rights with Representative Lloyd Diggott, a Democrat in Texas, in Austin. On Tuesday, that the Democrats stated that they wanted the legal immigrants to be able to come into the nation freely across their open borders in order to rig elections. And for someone to say that it's going to rig elections, they are beyond right. In fact, illegal immigrants are right now, I think, at least in the millions. And I think it's projected that at least 700,000 voted during the 2016 election, and probably another close to a million voted during the 2018 midterm election. And that's really scary because the Democrats are virtually rigging, as it said, the election by virtually saying, well, we're going to let in a few people. They're going to be legal immigrants. But when they start letting in all the illegal immigrants virtually know that if they vote for Democrats, they're going to get more people in and they're possibly going to get their family in. So then they vote Democrat. It starts changing elections across the country. And so overall, it just really takes away American politics and turns it into a free-for-all. It makes it more of just, oh, let's just bring in 20,000 people who are obviously going to vote for my party. And so no one now trusts the process. This kind of relates to now how the American youth and how many older, more elderly people now see the elections as completely worthless. Because of such things as this, because elections are now becoming more and more rigged as we go on, because with the new installment of the illegal immigration system that President Obama had previously put in, people are going to change the election because when they saw Obama, they saw, oh, a free ticket into the country. I better vote for him. And so it also goes into detail with saying that, as President Trump's son, Donald Trump, noted, and there is, folks, what we all knew but one would not say, it is only about votes for Democrats. And so, yes, the votes are just for Democrats. They don't care about your opinion. This is why they use identity politics, because they don't want to actually hear anyone. They just want to put them as a number, put them as a race, and put them as a gender. That's what they all see in you. They don't see any kind of great opinion, great idea, any kind of future. They just see you as another person that they can try to vote for you. And so again, that's what really makes the left less and less of the moral party. Because the left have always used the argument that they are the moral party, that they're fighting for the morals of people. When now they're not fighting for the morals of people, they're just fighting for themselves. In fact, now it's just a matter of which candidate can get the most votes from their area. And see if they can get enough votes around the country and say, well, look at all these Hispanics. They're all voting for me. That means every Hispanic in this country should be, or at least most Hispanics should be voting for me because they voted. It's like, that would just be complete and total bullcrap. That would be complete and total bullcrap because it's virtually saying, I don't care about anything. I just want to win. And that's what the Democratic Party has become. They've become a party in which they do not care about you. You are just something to them. You're not anything. You're just another person in this world that can vote. And they're going to keep using that for until people start exposing it and really seeing in their eyes that they are, as I said, a number in their eyes and not a person. But we're not going to really talk about the election because the election is still in over a year. And that's going to be very exciting. And again, this is what I'm going to kind of say here. I'm still setting up Twitch. I have plenty of time. So you guys don't have to worry about the Twitch setup because it has been taking me a few months to really start getting adjusted. I, in fact, downloaded Streamlabs. I think we need to get one more application and then I will be able to really start making live streams and such. The live streams will more likely than not be more of just talks for about an hour or so. And I'm planning also in the future to make a 24-hour live stream, either gaming or talking. And that the talking is going to definitely be difficult. I'm just going to have to consistently move to different websites and find articles that I can really discuss. But we're going to switch from Twitch and go into the pros and cons of impeaching Trump. Real and reasonable arguments among congressional Democrats and indeed among the public range from the practical to the procedural. And what this is what I see from if they impeach Trump is that they're just, and especially if it fails. If it fails, it's going to prove that the Democrats did not have anything, that they just wanted to impeach Trump because of his views. And that's what really their entire point is, especially if the Russian collusion does not prove anything, because it's just going to say, oh, we're impeaching Trump not because of actual evidence. We're just impeaching Trump because he doesn't like our ideas. And that would just be absolute stupidity, because it's virtually going to say, oh, we don't care about the people. We're not voting for the people, or at least we're voting for the people who don't like Trump. We don't care about them. We just care about who's the president. I'm just going to say this right here. Even if you get rid of President Trump, you still got Mike Pence. And Mike Pence may not be the Donald Trump, but he still is, in a way, a replica of President Trump, just maybe a little bit less radical and less great because of certain... And Mike Pence, I have looked over his actual career. He has a pretty good career. Not the best. I would definitely not say that because he hasn't passed that many bills. But I would definitely say he has a pretty good career considering I've looked into many candidates and they passed like 5 bills within their entire term, which is like 8 years. That's not a lot. In fact, I've actually learned this about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, in fact, has passed 3 bills out of his entire term. And I think his entire term has been over 20 years. Yeah, that's not really a lot of significance. And I still wonder to this day, how does Bernie Sanders even win an election? How does he actually even win an election when he's done absolutely nothing? He just has ideas that can win him an election. And that's what really keeps me from saying, how this really keeps me from really looking at Bernie and saying, oh, at least he's done something. And that I don't agree with. No, this literally just tells me he's one of the laziest candidates I've ever seen and one of the laziest politicians that the American political system has ever witnessed. But again, we're not going to really talk about that. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of impeachment. The announcement last week that the representative Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, was demanding documents from 81 agencies, companies, and individuals with the knowledge of the Trump administration's behavior or misbehavior was in its way monumentous. Through properly classified as a kind of oversight that they see no evil even when you're staring at it, Republicans in Congress avoided it for the past 2 years. It seems that it's clear that Nadler's plan ending what amounts of to pre-impeachment hearings. Nadler himself cautioned that regarding the potential eviction of the Trump family from the Pennsylvania Avenue, quote, we don't have the facts yet, but the committee's demand appears designed to assemble as much as what they can be known about the potential Trump family depopulations as possible and see where it all leads. Trump said that the demand's nothing but a big fat fishing expedition, provoking that the reflection that you are rarely scared of a big fat fishing expedition unless you know that there are big fat fish lurking somewhere in your pond. So Trump, he's saying virtually, this entire thing is just them trying to find something that's not there. It's just them looking. And that's what the Democrats have done for so long, is that they just constantly and just overly extend themselves to find anything. They try to make up fake news articles to impeach, to attack Trump. They were disbanded. They try to attack Trump on anything. They tried to use his tax cut. His tax returns. And it was completely disbanded because Rachel Maddow, who presented at least, I think, 4 pages of it, was actually breaking the law. Because you can't actually just steal someone's tax returns like that and just say, well, whoop-de-dee-doo, I can just do that. No, that's not how the law works, Rachel. You may have a lot of influence in the media, but you don't have that much influence. But the statement states that these arguments have weight on a presidential Pence would centrally continue to appoint right-wing judges and limit LGBT rights and ignore climate change and all the rest, and that might do so efficiently, better able to concrete on the task without getting distracted by these or allure of military parades. But what if he did? These may all be policies worth opposing, that they are not crimes that they can be tolerated. Is it the core premise of any liberal democracy that people accept the program of the party in power, no matter how they like it, how little they like it? And that's right about from the New Yorker. That why is it people have to accept this? And this is what I actually discussed with someone before, is that we Republicans, when President Obama was elected, we disagree with Obama heavily, and I even said that. I hate Obama. But I still say he's still my president. And then liberals didn't care. But then when Trump was elected, they tried to say, oh, Trump's not my president because he's against my values. When in real life, he's your president. If I was you guys, I would still accept him as my president. I just wouldn't like him, obviously. But the Democrats don't want to. They just want to say that he is in just a form of a power. He's a form of tyranny. He's a form of fascism. He's a form of America, probably in the 1890s. Because, and this is one thing they always like to use, is that he comes from Alabama. It's like, wow, you guys talk about us using stereotypes? When you guys are using the exact definition of a stereotype by judging him by where he comes from? This is why you're called the hypocritical party of all time, because guess what? You're a bunch of hypocrites who constantly lie. But again, there's nothing really else to go off of this other than just many paragraphs of information detailing the last stories and discussing, because it's not really talking about much of what I thought it was. Because I thought, as the article stated, that there was going to be the pros and cons, that there were going to be like a list and I could discuss them. But the New Yorker article, even though it's very, I think it's a really good article, at least from what I'm reading. And I would say, check it out. Tell me if you can find anything that I could discuss in the next podcast. But that's going to really end it for today. So, the overall discussion from this episode. The Trump getting into more trouble from the left because of their hypocrisy. The left continues to try fighting for illegal immigration. And impeachment proceedings are starting to become a reality of the Trump presidency. But as I said, that's going to really end it here. So I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope, especially because you're going to probably lose about at least an hour of sleep because of daylight savings time. But again, thank you for listening. I hope you spread the message. Tell anyone you know if they're interested in any kind of political podcast to check out this podcast. You can also check it on Podbean, Patreon, and many other sites that as I've stated before, we've uploaded on. So thank you and goodbye.